Cancer community is buzzing over a new study that says venom from bees can kill cancer cells. Today, we're going to kick off with a very interesting article that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what comes out of the stomach of the bee. Okay. Allah ta'ala does not say, he does not mention that the honey only, right? Yes, honey is a cure. There's no doubt about that. But he does not mention honey only as a cure. يَخْرُجُ مِن بُطُونِهَا شَرَابٌ مُخْتَلِفٌ أَلْوَانُهَا. Something, a fluid that can be drank about the bee. فِيهِ شِفَاءٌ لِلنَّاسِ. It has a cure for people. So the verse just says, from its stomachs. Here's the article. A doctor sent it to me. The research is all there. Now, the cancer community, listen up, folks. Put this on the MedNet, because this is like, any of you have cancer, make sure your doctor's part of this organization, because if he's not, you just fire him right away. You ever heard of it? All right, Dr. Nibad told me about it. Dr. Nibad, who's turned into like a Paralympian athlete who bikes 50 miles a day, but he's a cancer doctor, he's an oncologist, and he told me he's very proud of this website that was made essentially, it's not a website, it's a knowledge sharing organization, right? Knowledge sharing.
So you run like miles?
No, that's something else. No, this, there's a cancer organization. He's an oncologist, right? So one time we were chit-chatting, and he said there's a website. He's very happy because Syrians started this website. And he's Syrian, essentially, Lebanese, but very much similar to Syrians in culture. But he said that they share knowledge on this website. And KS Certify is asking, he said it's called the MedNet. And that's the website where cancer physicians share knowledge about their cases, essentially. But this is it. Cancer community is buzzing over a new study that says venom from bees can kill cancer cells. All right? So, you got cancer? Go piss off some bees. Get yourself stung. But no, they actually use this as, they do it in a controlled manner. Scientists at the Harry Perkins Institute of Medical Research in Western Australia tested venom from more than 300 honeybees and bumblebees against two types of aggressive, hard-to-treat breast cancer. All right, listen up. Triple-negative and human epidermal growth factor receptor 2. Whatever, all right? No one, this is only some technical terminology that we're not familiar with. They found that a compound in venom called melanin could destroy breast cancer cells within an hour. Whoa, without causing harm to other cells. It kills only the cancerous cells, right? So the common treatments today are what? They're first you go for chemo, and if that doesn't work, they zap you with radiation, right? Now, I always wondered how the radiation works, because how does it only affect, like how do you zap someone and then the skin doesn't get affected, but it only gets to the cell. So I finally asked an oncologist out in Chicago. You know Dar es Salaam? Their dad is an oncologist. That huge masjid, Dar es Salaam, Mufti Azimuddin's dad. So I said, how does radiation work when they zap somebody, right? Like, why doesn't it, wouldn't it burn through everything else too? So he laughed. He's like, no, we don't just use one ray. It's like you're literally in a microwave. It's millions of rays, okay, that would not, in one of them by itself, would not have an effect on anything. And then it finally gets to the cancerous, or wherever they're focusing it on. And it fries it away. But this, though, here, there's the active component of honeybee venom. Melanin is a positively charged amphipathic 26 amino acid peptide. How'd you do in chemistry, Habib?
Terrible,
me too. Researchers found it was able to target cancer cells by shutting down the activity of molecules overexpressed in these cancers. Now, what is this? You're probably just tuning in and wondering, what is he talking about? Well, the reason we're talking about this is mainly that it connects with the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nahl, the Surah of Bees, which mentions يَخْرُجُ مِن بُطُونِهِ, that comes out of its stomach, شَرَابٌ مُخْتَلِفٌ أَلْوَانُهُ, a fluid or a drink, شَرَاب, that something you can consume, that's colors different, right? فِيهِ شِفَاءٌ لِلنَّاسِ, that, but it has a cure for people. And here, I mean, this is a serious cure. They also found that when used in conjunction with chemotherapy drugs, the melatonin helped form pores in the cancer cell membrane, which could potentially allow therapies to better penetrate the cells. Okay, good. So you make sure that you don't knock out the chemo industry with this article, so that you say that, you know, when the venom is mixed, used in conjunction with, or not mixed, but used alongside chemotherapy drugs, then the melatonin helps form pores in the cancer cell membrane, which allows therapies to better penetrate the cell. Wonderful. Now, while the tests for this study were only done in a lab setting, the researchers believed the compound can be synthetically reproduced as a treatment for breast cancer. So that's what they always do. They find this amazing thing in nature, then they just reproduce it in a more efficient manner. Okay, it's a much more efficient manner by reproducing it in a lab. And they could just isolate, you know, whatever is the active product. That's usually how it goes, the active ingredient. Okay, يَخْرُجُ مِن بُطُونِهَا شَرَابٌ مُخْتَلِفٌ أَلْوَانُ. Let's see, I want to see how he translates شَرَاب, drink, all right, of different hues. مُخْتَلِفٌ أَلْوَانُهُ فِيهِ شِفَاءٌ لِلنَّاسِ. This is, again, one of the logic behind this was, you would ask yourself, how in the world would a prophet, or a person from way back in that time, know to be general about it? Because we know honey. Even in that time, they knew honey was a therapy. But to be general about it, because it says from its stomachs. So it's not just honey. Because, you know, honey's not, you don't necessarily find honey always in the stomach of the bee, you find it in the hive. But from the stomach is the venom. So the bee venom, which we're all afraid of, okay, apparently now it's really a big deal. So Dr. Marlena Toro, a breast cancer researcher at Moffitt Cancer Center, says while the discovery is impressive, more research would need to be done before it could be made become a viable therapy. Of course, you got to study these things a million thousand times before you actually make it. And then the FDA has like really stringent rules because they don't. By the way, when I went to the Dominican Republic, oh my gosh, I have such an appreciation for rules now. Just because when you see chaos, and I don't know what, I wasn't aware of it when I went to the other, you know, the Arab countries, maybe I just got used to it. But when you see chaos, and just everything is sloppy, and anything goes. So to open a restaurant, you need a licensure. What if someone gets sick? Well, I went to a restaurant there. I went to Google, I typed in halal restaurant, I go to the restaurant, and it's a guy's house, right? There's zero regulations, zero nothing. I'm just eating like, it's like an invitation. And I leave him some money on the table. Like, there's no regulations for anything. Probably in medicine, there's just no regulations. And people are probably getting messed up all the time. It feels like you're more free, but you're also more free to get screwed, right? That's really the truth. You cannot sue anybody, right?
You get.
Whatever happens. You're on your own. There's no lawsuit. You're on your own. All right, then the good news is this study has shown that melatonin can disrupt signaling pathways in breast cancer cells that are responsible for growth and the spread of disease. However, there have been many studies where compounds have proved successful at killing cancer cells in the lab or animal models, but it has taken many years for those discoveries to patients, if at all. So the lag time from discovery or theory, really, to patient is a long time. But there's also another reason. They don't like to disrupt industries here, right? It's I think there's some good to it. It's like safety, but it's also they don't want to disrupt the industry. And here you have like all these other treatments going, and there's an economy behind these treatments. We wouldn't have treatments available to us if it wasn't an economy, a viable economy, meaning that people could wake up from 9 to 5, all they think about is treating you, and you get access to it. That can't happen if he's not getting paid for it. So you can't just upend and disrupt an industry like that. They have to ease it in. And you have to, like what they said in the article, you have to work with that current industry. It's got to fit in, right? So they're saying that, oh, it works great in conjunction with chemotherapy drugs. I don't know if that's like the case or if that's like, you know, just like something they're putting in there to make sure that they're making everyone happy, because there's a lot of economics involved in medicine. It's necessary. You can't just disrupt a critical industry like the health industry like this. Taro added that approximately half of all current drugs are derived from natural products, which demonstrates the potential of using bee venom for drug discovery. Nature is a great supplier of active elements and chemical synthesis. Okay? The chemical synthesis has made it possible to provide many drugs of natural origin in the dosage required for therapeutic use. And that's the biggest thing that a lot of people, they don't think about when they think about natural medicine. I want to go natural. Yeah, but you don't know the dosage, right? And you don't know what the reactions. So it's about the dosage. That's the key. And the original supply, they said, it's like oftentimes very limited and very difficult, right? There's a Netflix documentary on bee sting therapy. And they got to get the bees, and they cup it around the area. They put the bee in a cup, right? And the bee immediately feels upset, okay? And then they sting the person there, and they say that they get good results. Now, it's not like considered actual medicine, but it's a therapy that people say works for them. If it works for them, it's good for them. I don't think there's a law against stinging yourself, right? So, but the key is, the issue is, the if you're going to really use this, you got to study what dosage is required. What are the active ingredients? What about other ingredients that mix with, you know, they could mix with, you know, things that in the body or other medicines that you're taking that are not good. So when Allah says, fihi shifa, there is a cure in it, does not mean it's 100% a cure 100% of the time. That's something very important that many naive people think. It's a cure 100% of the time. Like black seed. Black seed, al-habbatu sawda, is a big deal, but because the Prophet said it's a medicine, but he didn't say at any rate. It's like a certain rate that you have to take, or else you actually can harm yourself. Like water, you could overdrink. Probably, I'm sure there is a concept of overdrinking water, as neutral as water is, right? You could probably overdrink yourself to the point of ill health. All right, nature is a great supplier and active element, she says. And then there are 20,000 species of bees. So here you go. There's a ton of type of bees. So which bee is mentioned here? And this is where it's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always wants human beings to be scholars. Like, he wants study. There's a lot of factors. Okay, so the bee, we all know that now. And honey is a general cure for in living. We all have it in our homes. But Allah Ta'ala wants scholarship. He wants knowledge. He wants specialized study. Because that's really how human beings live. And if everything was available to everybody, then I wouldn't need a doctor. You wouldn't need a mechanic. We wouldn't need a mufti, etc., etc. So there's 20,000. Now we get into the really hairy details. 20,000 species of bees, which ones work and which ones don't, right? Okay. With the study looking at the European honeybee found in Australia, Ireland, and England, the bee populations from each country produced almost identical effects in breast cancer. It also looked at the venom from bumblebees, but this did not have the same effect and was unable to induce cell death. So the venom of bumblebees, which is the little fatter bees, they're fatter, they're shorter, and they make a lot more noise. Okay. Maham says, I work for MHRA, we're the UK's medicine regulator, ensuring public health and patient safety is our main priority. So am I saying what makes sense or no? Right? I'm making sense here, that they got to make sure they go really slow on these, you know, these these new discoveries. Okay. It also looked at the venom from bumblebees. We said that. One of the first reports of the effects of bee venom was published in 1950, where venom reduced the growth of tumors in plants. I didn't even know plants get tumors, but well. Over the past two decades, interest in apitherapy has grown. So I guess that's what they call it. As has interest in the effects on honeybee venom on different cancers. Okay. Despite this, the molecular mechanisms and selectivity of biomolecular components of honeybee venom as anti-cancer agents remain largely unknown, prompting the new study. Understanding the molecular basis and specificity of bee venom against cancer cells is key for developing and optimizing novel, effective therapeutics from a natural product that is widely available and cost-effective to produce in many communities around the world. All right, very well done. So, good article and really interesting stuff. And if I had went into medicine, I would have never went into the research side. I don't have the tolerance and the patience for this academics. I need adrenaline. We need action. I'd have been a surgeon, no doubt about it. No, surgery. Emergency room surgery on top of that.
You can handle blood?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would have been I would have been a great emergency room because I love the pressure, right? And I love the idea like, this is it. Life and death. And not life and death, and then let's study what medicine to take. No. Glove me up. Give me saws, knives. Take care of this person. You wake up, you thank Allah, and then you thank me for saving your life. That's the type of medicine that I would have been in, right? I'm talking 2 a.m., cups of coffee, oh, emergency room, boom, excitement. Yes, that's what I would have been into. That's the only medicine I would have been excited about. Now let's get to our real forte here. That was segment number one of today's Nothing But Facts live stream, for which we have some special guests coming, by the way. All right. So for any of those in the medical industry, I'm sure you love that segment. And probably maybe not my butchering of, you know, medical terminology, et cetera, et cetera. All right. But that was segment number one. Segment number two is that we are going to tell you that you can support this live stream by going to patreon.com/Safina Society. And we need to update our credits. We haven't updated our credits in a long time. So we need to update our credits because a lot of you give us a lot of support, and that's why we're able to do this.